brought to you by Penguin.
The Garden House by Marcia Willett, read by Emma Powell. Prologue. The church is full. The service has ended and the organist plays quietly as friends and family file out of their pews to follow the coffin into the churchyard. The nave is flooded with bright slanting sunshine sliced by sharp black shadows, and long-stemmed flowers, purple and blue, cast splashes of colour across cold grey stone. Half hidden behind a pillar at the back of the church, struggling to control her tears, not wishing to be seen, Julia watches them. One or two she recognises from photographs, most are strangers to her. As she stands up, preparatory to slipping away, she sees the tall young man that she noticed outside before the service. Her sudden movement catches his attention as he makes his slow progression down the aisle, and their eyes meet, hold for a moment, before he is drawn into a group of friends just inside the porch. Julia quickly makes her way out of the church, skirting the groups of people in the churchyard, hurrying away into the little lane that leads into Duke Street, heading back to the car park. Climbing into the car, casting her bag onto the passenger seat, she takes a huge breath, slumping for a moment, giving herself time to regroup. Martin is dead. Martin, who was so full of life, is dead because he stabbed his finger on some blackthorn and died of sepsis within 48 hours. Julia still doesn't know how to process this. The shock, disbelief, and the devastating loss. Sitting quite still, staring unseeingly ahead, she recalls moments of their love. She remembers their first meeting at the garden house, his first text to her. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Woodstock. Suddenly she knows where she must go, as if he is showing her the way. The words sing in her head. We are stardust, we are golden, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. She switches on the engine, pulls out of the car park, and drives away into the warm, late summer sunshine. Chapter 1. On this journey to claim her inheritance, Elle is filled with nervous anticipation. As she drives past familiar signposts and landmarks, she is wondering how it will feel to turn the key in the lock and walk in, knowing that this time is not just for a holiday or a visit, knowing that the pig pen belongs to her. Elle remembers how Pa phoned her during her first term at Durham. I've found the perfect place to live, Elle, he said, but you won't believe what it's called. Even as she remembers, she is seized with this new sense of grief that overwhelms her at unexpected moments. Pa is dead. How can that be true? She wasn't with him. She was celebrating with her university friends in Durham, having got a first in English. Thank God he'd known that. That she'd dashed down to see him as soon as she knew her results and that they'd celebrated in the Royal Oak at Meavy. I'm so proud of you, darling, he said, raising his glass to her. So very, very proud. You'll come to my graduation, won't you? She asked anxiously. Her father hesitated, cutting up some food, pretending to think about it. Even now, 5 years after the divorce, events that might involve both her parents are fraught with difficulty. Her mother has never forgiven him for being unfaithful, never shifted from her position as the betrayed wife. Nor has she forgiven Elle for continuing to love him. I shall be furious with you if you don't come, she told him fiercely. Now, as she drives through the early autumn landscape, she wishes she hadn't said that. The graduation was hedged about with grief and shock. Her mother was there with Roger, Elle's stepfather, but the event was coloured with a terrible sadness that couldn't be dispelled. Roger was gentle and kind because it is his nature to be so, but her mother, even on such an occasion...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?